Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Juggalo Rider Radio with your host, Savvy, co-host, Ghetto G. Tonight we got the very own Yaz of Dead Celebrity Stats coming up with us tonight. He'll be about 20 to 30 minutes late. So what we're going to do is we're going to play tracks off the old and new album. And also any misfits that are tuned in for this, welcome to Juggalo Rider Radio. Now, of course, y'all just heard We Fall off of Blood Music. We said we're going to the new album at the same time. And here we go with the Throwaway Kids.
Four spoons of pain. While they hide, we dance in the rain. We are not perfect. We are not glamorous. We are not Hiltons. We are not Kardashians. We are anti-gag with our hands tied, tied around our backs while Bush formed a wreck. When Obama killed Osama, we refused to clap because America's a terrorist too. We sit for tax. We are filthy poor, the opposite of Jersey Shore. So fuck Snooki and a stylist. We are not commodities. We are bleeding hearts. Trapped inside the middle of these circling sharks. We are the apocalypse standing in the dark. We're bright lights and fame are the opposite of art. So clap for the anonymous, cheer for the unlikely. Let the fucking world know who you might be. In the Marilyn Manson, screaming fuck the world like it's a national anthem. We are not popular, we are not praised. We are not 50s, we are not Kanye. We are icons without the glamour of glitz. Like Heidi from the hills in a plastic kit. So while the president fucks you, the rich get rich and try to paint me as an anarchist. You made me a demon, so I'm aiming and squeezing and enjoying the pain and the bleeding. Fuck the prom queen, fuck being beautiful. We are not low hands, we are the unusual. The undisputable, misfit, lights out, brave by the pain. I was aimed at the White House, clap with the invisibles, march with the phantom. Rise up with the throwaway anthem. Than a pilot, but never had a sky view. Bottom floor poor with a knack for being lied to. Painted face wasteland, the opposite of Graceland. Singing in a symphony of silence, defiance. Sleeping with the wolves and dancing with the lions. In a city riots, burning down the tyrants. Juggalos and misfits tackling the giants.
Like I said, yeah, just give me a little late. I guess he's taking care of some business real quick.
So to continue on with this.
Yeah, what do you say we go a little more? I say we go with, maybe off of Blood Music. I say we go with In This Day and Age.
Thank you.
plastic surgery for the less advanced. White lies based on religion, sex, and churches. Politicians sniffing white lines behind closed curtains. Overpaid athletes stick steroids in ass cheek. $1 million salaries depend on players' dad sheet. The young and homeless live amongst the trash heaps. Last week's news is forgotten. Dead, sick, and rotten. Like the corpse of Andy Kaufman. They say he sells, but who's buying? In these days and times, and the public loves it. They can't get enough of it. Anything else is rubbish. MP3s and part CDs leads us to believe that music is now free. The industry is in a panic. Major labels running frantic. World's best mechanic couldn't fix it. Empty seats means kids can't afford a ticket. And it's a problem, like teenage love without a condom.
Up next, off of the new album Throwaway Kid, this is Hurts Like featuring Bay.
You weren't sleeping. I know it's late in the evening. I know it's been a long time since we last spoke. Approximately 9 months since I last wrote. Last I heard, you were losing hope, eating liquid food through an IV tube. Still trying to stay afloat, but it's hard when there's a hole in your boat. You keep sinking. A hospital bed means time for deep thinking. And it's amazing how one visit to the clinic can turn your life upside down in an instant. Never was deadly drugs or unprotected sex. The medics say genetics put that lump in your breast, and I know medicine could take away that lump in your chest. How come I only cry when it's under my breath? I love you to death, so take that pain. Put a noose around it, let it hang.
Alright, I'll be back. So give me a few more minutes and then Yaz will be with us. Until then, like I said, yeah, we're just gonna go over track after track. Up next, off of Blood Music. For those who remember this track, it's Somebody Turn the Lights Off.
Yeah.
Alright, up next, off of Throwaway Kids, this is They Will Love You.
Came to raise the bar,
hey.
Up from when Hendrix played guitar, right down to your phony ass A&R.
Hey.
John Lennon dies, the world is stunned. What if Mark Chapman didn't shoot that gun?
Hey.
The same one who sang Give Peace a Chance was the same one who died from violent hands. So should we all take a silent stance? Or
hey.
Celebrities targets from our race fans?
Hey.
I know something smells like his spirit.
Hey.
I know something smells like his spirit.
Hey.
And if someone yells, can we hear it? Or we gotta be dead for you to listen to the lyrics?
And we're back. It's the misfits up in the room. Make sure to sign in so that we can chat. And once we get your ass up on here, you can ask questions. Definitely welcome to the show, of course, the Omega up in the room. What up, ghetto?
Holla, holla.
Easy there. Easy, Teddy Long. Easy.
there must be a tag team match this evening.
So, how did you feel about tonight's SmackDown, man?
Did didn't watch it because I read you all that shit the other day, and it just seemed a bunch of repeats. All I saw was Dolph Ziggler lose the handicap match by Roman Reigns in his one move.
Hey, you also missed the Big Show crying.
No, I saw him crying during that match.
Oh, not that much. I mean, at the end of the show, at the end of SmackDown, he's crying.
Oh.
Because of the fact that he ran into the ring to try to help Daniel Bryan. They whooped the shit out of the Shield, and then Triple H came down, ordering him to get out of the ring and go into the back, and he just started crying.
So is all this going to be set up for Survivor Series? All the people that aren't allowed to say nothing versus the Shield, Randy Orton, and Triple H?
Probably.
When does that take place anyway? What month does that take place?
Survivor Series is usually, I think, November.
All right, yeah, see. They'll play out this whole Randy Orton thing for a while, and then boom, Survivor Series, there we go, we'll finally be here.
Well, unless they, you know, decide to change the name of it and decide not to go with Survivor Series.
Well, when's that Battlegrounds thing?
October.
See, there's that. That's going to be out of the way, and there ain't going to be nothing else.
Yeah, there is. You also have Hell in a Cell coming up in October as well.
Man, that doesn't even count.
And then following that will be Survivor Series. And then TLC, then the Rumble, then the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
I think it's funny how the only pay-per-view that they do not have a fucking location for yet is the Elimination Chamber.
So who we got in the chat room tonight?
We've got Omega of Oakland County. And then, of course, we got two Misfits that ain't signed in yet.
Well, what are you all up to, man? Talk to us. While we wait. That is.
Yeah, no, we definitely know Ghetto G won't be here January 26th.
January 26th, what the hell happens then?
Royal Rumble.
Why won't I be here?
Because I'll be in Pittsburgh at the Consol Energy Center.
The Royal Rumble's going to be here? Like, this next year?
Yes.
Wow. It's good to know. Get tickets now.
Yeah. So
shit, man,
I'd
love to fucking go to Royal Rumble, man. That's the best pay-per-view they got.
Well, just don't pull a Chris and, you know, being like way, way back to where nobody can see you.
The fuck would I want to do that for? Shit, man, give me TV time like that fat guy like 2 weeks ago.
Hold up. Yeah, there you go. You can do it that way. I think you have fucking CM Punk calling you a fat guy at the end of the fucking front row.
Hey, man, at least I get some TV time.
All right, you ready? I don't want to upload a track. I want to call somebody, motherfucker.
Upload a track? That's not the same thing as calling someone.
Havoc, what's going on, brother? How are you, sir?
Been good, man. I've been good. We of course got my co-host Gil G here with us.
What's going on?
What up? What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Excellent. Pretty excited to be with you guys right now.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And by the way, man, just so you know, I'm definitely hooking you guys up right now. Just so you know.
You're going to be doing what?
Well, check it out. We got a dude up in the room named Omega. He's an artist out in Oakland County. And
all right.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you guys hooked up with a collab with him as well.
Oh, shit. That's what's up, dude. That's fucking wicked.
And then, like I told you on Facebook, man, we had the, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the band Flaw.
No, you know what? I've heard of who they are. And when you had mentioned them to me, like they're kind of like an alternative band, right? They're metal or something. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So you're cool with those cats, or?
Yeah, definitely. We had Chris Ballinger. He's like the drummer for the band. And you know, and like I actually mentioned to him about you guys. That if they're ever up in Canada for a show, they hit you guys up for the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's wicked. Yeah, that's love, brother. Anything, you know, we're all about family and about supporting. So anything, you know, and in return, anything we can do in return, we would love to. So it's always great to have great connections like that. So mad respect to you, brother.
Speaking of Canada, you guys ever do a show at like So Sick Social Club?
Are you kidding me? We actually, those are my boys. That's like my family. We have a track with them, actually. We haven't played any shows with them. We've been in the midst of trying to plan something with So Sick Social Club. I talk to those guys on a regular basis. They put out their last album, and we actually did a track with them, us and Hobson and So Sick. It's on that last album, Dead Friends Don't Tell.
We actually heard that track. I'll be honest, I think the only verse I'm not feeling on that entire track would be Hobson.
Yeah, you know, we've been hearing a lot of that, to be honest. You know, it is what it is, and a lot of, but from what the fan reaction, I guess. You know, people are, you know, I think Bobby and I always bring something to the table that's a little bit, you know, witty and clever with wordplay and whatnot, and I think the So Sick guys, you know, came fucking amazing with the music and the beats and, you know, the singing and everything. But, you know, I think the weak link, I don't think the weak link, but what I've been hearing from people is kind of what, you know, your sentiments were just now, so.
Yeah, definitely, man. But I still be just on the way, and I mean, you know, we got new listeners. We got, of course, Gil wasn't over here for the first interview, I don't think.
Nope.
So, you know, so of course, my first question, if you manage and you already know this one, how did Dead Celeb come together?
How did Dead Celebrity Status come together?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, it's me and Bobby. You know, Bobby and myself have been... you know, we've been best friends since we were kids. You know, this has been a lifetime, really, partnership in a relationship as brothers since we were kids rapping. And we used to, we started originally, you know, a hip-hop group when we were just teenagers called Project Wise. And, you know, after, you know, 10 to 13 years of independent struggle and strife and, you know, touring and, you know, living off of one hamburger a day and practically homeless living out of a van, We had our big break, and we got signed by Sony Music, a major record label deal, and, you know, we did big things with Project Wise, very successful. You know, we went gold up here in Canada and traveled and toured with Ozzy Osbourne and did Warped Tour and Ozfest and every major tour that was, you know, up and down the country we took part in. And then ultimately things just didn't work out, not with Bobby and myself, but with the rest of the band. And that music right there was more like rap rock, you know, it was more alternative with a band and stuff. And Bobby and I, what we started doing is we started ghostwriting, and it's something we've done and we still do. And we were doing some ghostwriting for some other artists out there. And it got us back into doing hip hop again. And it got us back into, you know, just our getting back into just doing, you know, really smart, clever, dark, witty hip hop. And Bobby and I were like, you know, well, why don't we just go back to what it once was, just you and me, and that's Dead Celebrity Status. It was born, you know, in the mid 2000s, and we signed a new deal with Warner and Bodog at the time, and released that last album, Blood Music, which, you know, had some great guests on it, people like Dave Navarro and Steve Perkins from A Perfect Circle and Twiggy Ramirez from Marilyn Manson and Joss Stone, you know, Grammy nominated artist. And we did a lot of big things, and we were able to tour with Tech N9ne. We did the Ever Ready tour across America with Tech N9ne, and we ended up going to Europe and touring with Jurassic 5 all across there, and ultimately, you know, we ran into some stumbles again, major label issues, and Bobby and I basically went on hiatus, and we had to disappear for almost 7 years, dealing with court battles and dealing with, you know, bureaucracy. There's so much red tape and so much bullshit that you have to deal with. And through that, you know, what we always had was support from our fans, our misfits, and, you know, support from the Juggalo community, something that is very dear to our hearts, to be honest. And it was that support that continued the motivation for Bobby and myself to continue. And here we are today talking to you guys on Juggalo Rider Radio with a new album, The Throwaway Kid. So in a quick nutshell to answer your question, that's kind of how Dead Celebrity Status began, where it came from, and why we're still here today.
Hell yeah. Now, my question for you, man, is, now, how did you come up with the name Dead Celebrity Status?
How we get that name? Oh shit! You know, is I can't even tell you exactly how. A lot of the stuff Bobby and myself do is just, you know, we come up with clever ideas, clever wordplay. We like concepts, and you know, just brainstorming. And it was one of those things that we came up with. We like the idea of what Dead Celebrity Status means. The whole, you know, when you really look at it, what happens when someone dies, right? Someone that's famous, once they die, they reach a level of stardom that's you know, almost unobtainable by someone who isn't. And in fact, a lot of artists, once they die, they reach the pinnacle of their success. And it's kind of we don't like that. You know, it's not that we're accepting of that. So it's kind of a play at how society looks at art and how, you know, simplistic the masses' minds are in terms of accepting what is supposed to be cool or accepting what is supposed to be art. And it's kind of, you know, it was along that concept that the title, you know, Dead Celebrity Status came. We want to prove that we are here because of our art, because of what we create, and not because, you know, we're dead and someone keeps bleeding money out of us through our death, if that makes any sense.
Definitely, man, definitely. We actually got a question from the room. Taj Williams wants to know, when is DCS hitting the Midwest?
Oh, shit, you know, that's I hope soon, to be honest. We just got off the road. We were with the Cottonmouth Kings doing we were part of the Free the Kings tour. Down, and that was mostly West Coast dates, so, you know, we were up and down California, went up to New Mexico and Denver, so we kind of did part of the West Coast, and we got back, and we're in the midst right now of formulating some tours and some options coming up. So our plan, really, to answer that question and to anyone else that might ask one about touring, is we're hoping to get across America and Canada. We're hoping to just, you know, we're kind of road warriors. We consider ourselves road warriors. We love nothing more than to be on the road and perform. So I hope soon, you know, I hope this year. We'll be out there this year, and we're hoping sooner than later. So just stay, you know, follow us on Facebook at DC Status, as well as our website, deadcelebritystatus.com, just to stay update and current and know what's going on, because it is in the works. We are planning it, and hopefully we'll be out there very soon.
Hell yeah. Now, of course, I know we ain't got Bobby to answer this question, but I'm going to ask you this one, man. Who would you say, you know, influenced you the most musically to get started?
These are good questions. To be honest, I guess what Bobby and I were always influenced by, or I wouldn't say a particular artist as much as it was movements. We grew up in a generation of, you know, the origins of hip hop. You know, Bobby and I grew up in the 80s, right? So the 80s movement in hip hop, bands like Public Enemy, you know, bands like, you know, really, you know, guys like Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, and N.W.A., people that mattered and had a reason to be creating this new genre, which was relatively fresh to the masses, which was hip hop. Also punk rock as a movement, you know, again, not necessarily one artist, but just the idea of do it yourself, that whole DIY concept of getting out there, creating, you know, what it is you create, which is art, and doing it in a way that creates a family type fan base, right? Because we say it all the time, we never really look for fans. What we look for is people that we consider family, someone that will grow with us and be part of us for a long time. So it's always been movements that have, you know, the old school metal movement. If we want to talk about individuals, you know, dude, you know, our influences range from, you know, from Kurt Cobain to Bob Dylan to, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, you know, Johnny Rotten, you know, it could go on forever and ever, you know, more recent, you know, so, you know, some of the great artists that have come out, you know, people that we admire, like, you know, the System of a Down and, you know, there's a lot. It's hard for us to really say one artist or really who influences us. But I can say movements really have played an important part in what dead celebrity status is.
Hell yeah. We got a question from Omega. Omega wants to know, what artist or band that you haven't worked with yet would y'all like to do a song with?
Omega, good question, brother. You know, there's an artist, you know, we wanted to work, we almost worked with System of a Down a number of years ago when we released that first album, Blood Music, and it almost happened, and unfortunately, they were in the process of recording an album at the time, and we needed to get our album done by a certain time, and it never happened, and unfortunately, we that record just never got done, and that's a band that we always wanted to work with and hoping, you know, somewhere down the road. Unfortunately, you know, Tech N9ne has now beat us to the punch. You know, he's got that track with the lead singer on his new album. You know, I think we like artists like that, people that are a little bit quirky, outside the box. You know, let me think, who else? We love System of a Down, you know, doing something with AFI, Tech N9ne, you know, Tech N9ne would be a great artist that, you know, we're good friends with, and we've talked about, you know, possibly collabing with down the road. Yeah, I think he'd be a great one to rock with as well. I don't know. I'll have to come back to that. Remind me in a little bit, Havoc, if I've thought of anyone else, but you kind of caught me on the spot with that one, Omega. Yeah.
Hell yeah, bud. Now check it out, bud. Now, this is one of our random questions. I think I might have asked you this a while back for the first interview. I don't remember too much, but check it out, man. If we were to get you high, give you $75, and put you in a Walmart with no food and no drinks, what would you buy?
Oh, yeah. Remember, I think we did talk about that, and I said, fuck Walmart. So, you know, I'm totally... I'm pretty much anti-Walmart. I think we did a whole segment last time about bashing Walmart. And I don't got a problem with people who go shop there. I just have a problem with it as a corporation and how it monopolizes, you know, small businesses and really has made it difficult for a lot of other, you know, mom and pop type shops to be able to prosper. I think they're greedy, you know, they're money hungry savages that have, you know, just really done some really bad things. They have a very corrupt way of handling their business. And so the first thing I would do with that $75 is I would walk out of Walmart and I would go to the next closest place where I can shop. which I don't know. What would that be? What's another place I can walk into and shop at?
Well, how do you feel about Target or Kmart or something like that?
Yeah, I kind of hate all those places. I'm not. I can't lie. I'm not big with. I'm not. I don't. How about I go to a flea market? How about that? I'll just take my $75 and go to a flea market because I'll probably get better deals anyway. I don't know. What would I buy? I like really cool, like, handcrafted type stuff. So I think at a flea market I might find something like antique type shit. I like, you know, older things from older generations. You know, really weird stuff that you can use as almost cool decor for your home. Look, I sound like I'm on some, like, house, you know, home renovation program. But I like old tools. Like, if you've ever seen, like, big, giant, like, monkey wrenches and stuff that are all rusty and stuff. I think something like that would be super rad to put in your house because it's unexpected and would look pretty cool. I don't even know why I'm talking about weird monkey wrenches at this moment. I don't think I've ever even thought of that in my life. Something about Juggalo Rider Radio that brings it out of me, I think. You know, I like old school video games. So I think at a flea market, I could probably find like an old crazy Super Nintendo and get like some old school Mortal Kombat games and stuff and go nuts. I don't know. But something like that from along the lines.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? We don't need to go to Walmart and spend a bunch of money on something that's probably not worth it. We can just go to a flea market, get some old school Nintendo games, and just, you know, have fun. That would be way more up my alley.
Hell yeah. Ghetto Man, you got a question you want to ask him, man?
Let's see. We'll just start it off with a... What would you say your favorite things are to do when you aren't making music? I think we pretty much answered that.
Yeah, no, you know what? I'm pretty... A lot of people don't, like... When I'm at... I spend a lot of time making music. So both Bobby and myself, you know, we spend a lot of time in the studio. We spend a lot of time crafting music, thinking about music, and we spend a lot of time touring. So when we're not making music... Which is our favorite thing to do. You know, touring and making music is for us, it's the greatest thing in the world. But when we're at home, you know, a lot of people think, you know, we go out and we party and we do the whole club thing and, you know, woo-woo, just go nuts. We don't. I'm actually very chill. When I'm at home, I like to, I'm a big reader. I'm constantly reading. I like going to cafes. I know it sounds funny. We were just on the Cottonmouth Kings tour, and Bobby and I was basically like a cafe tour for us. So every new city we hit up, we go find a cafe, you know, bring our laptops and enjoy a nice latte. Because it's kind of like the calm before the storm, because once we play the show, once we're in dead celebrity status mode, it's a whole other beast, right? It's almost like you're taking on, you know, it's like you're stepping in the ring, being a fighter, you're stepping in a ring. You're a completely different animal. So we kind of like the calm parts of our life, so where we can just enjoy, you know, good coffee and some books. We're big movie guys, you know, and TV guys. So, you know, I watch a lot of movies and shows. But, like, I don't watch TV in the sense that I just turn the TV on. I'm a downloader in terms of, like, you know, I'll watch a whole season of Breaking Bad in, like, one day. Or something along the lines like that. So that's pretty much it. I'm pretty chill. A lot of reading, you know, watching TV, that sort of stuff. But more than anything, we always look to just get back in the studio. That's a big thing for us. We stay pretty active. You know, Bobby's at the gym pretty much almost every day. I've been nursing a back injury for the last year or two. But otherwise, you know, we play ball. You know, we skate. You know, we do whatever. Kind of chill. We're really chill when we're at home, or at least try to be.
Sounds good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I watch a lot of the Cooking Network. Is that weird? I watch tons of the Cooking Network. When I actually have TV, because I hate commercials, so I have, like, PVR, and so I just, you know, I either download or I PVR whatever I want to watch. But when I'm when I'm, like, doing nothing, like, say I'm just, you know, in my living room and I'm playing on the internet and I'll have the TV on, I'll almost always have it on the cooking network. I love that shit.
So do you ever cook anything you see off of it?
Yeah, I try to at times. I try to, you know, I don't think I'm a great cook by all means. I think I cook a couple of things that are pretty good. Do you know what I do like about the Cooking Network? I love that it shows me cool places to go eat when I'm on the road. Now, I'm fortunate enough that I travel a lot because of music. You know, it brings me to, like, little towns and in places that most people wouldn't get to unless they lived there. So I constantly, like, I have a list of cool places to check out when I'm on the road. So if I'm in Cleveland, I'll actually open up my computer and I'll check if I have any cool spots in Cleveland to go hit up. Or if I'm in, you know, Boise, Idaho, I'll see if there was any spot that I've seen. So I'm constantly keeping a log of cool spots to check out and cool things to try. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Hell yeah. Now, Omega wants to know, what mic do you have to use? Do you have a favorite, or it doesn't matter?
We'll say that again. If we have a what?
What mic do you like to use? Like, you know, like when you're recording or performing.
Oh, with mics. Yeah, you know, I don't really have a major preference, to be honest. Our producer that produced this album with us is our boy Mark Fairchild. He's kind of like a studio wizard. Like, he's like a gear junkie, I guess you can call him, like, really into, like, really cool vintage microphones and vintage keyboards. And so he's constantly bringing really cool stuff into the studio for us to mess around with. And then that's kind of it. Bobby and I, we just kind of play around with what works best. So there isn't, like, a particular microphone that we love. We use a couple of different ones. And usually we rely on our boy who just, you know, comes up with, like, really cool things to use. Like, he'll pull out, like, some crazy, you know, 70s Canon style microphone, and we'll use it for, you know, a hook or a chorus, and then, you know, he'll have, you know, another style of microphone for verses. So he's kind of the wizard when it comes to that, so we kind of let him just go nuts with it and try to use his. You know, we don't like just using one thing. We try to use a couple of different things and bring a little bit of creativity to that process as well to the table.
Hell yeah, man. Now, of course, you know, you guys just released the Throwaway Kids. You know, what was the actual meaning behind the entire album itself?
Which is what on the entire album?
What is the what's the meaning behind, you know, the album Throwaway Kid?
Right, yeah. So the theme basically, you know, it's like we, you know, Bobby and I got to spend a lot of time away from music, and it was during a really bad time in our lives because of music, not necessarily the music, but the industry, right? The bureaucracy and the red tape and a lot of, you know, the industry is very cutthroat, and it shows you how cutthroat it is. And after that last album, Blood Music, and, you know, we had a major fallout with a record label, and it put Bobby and myself in a very vulnerable position. It put us in a place of, you know, it put us, you know, it just didn't back us up against a wall. It backed us up against a wall with a truck and just, you know, repeatedly kept smashing us. And we were at a real low point in our lives because we were handcuffed. We were handcuffed to this record label that, you know, wouldn't let us off, but wouldn't release music. And what happens is, you know, we spent a lot of money. Basically, we spent whatever money we had made, you know, trying to get off this really shitty situation. And what that did is it really put us in a place of hitting rock bottom is ultimately as I can, you know, really capsulize it. We hit rock bottom pretty bad, you know, professionally, financially, you know, emotionally. It was just a really, really bad time. And during that time, we weren't making music. We really couldn't. And it was just, you know, and I'm talking about this went on for years. So this wasn't like, you know, a couple of weeks or a month or two. This was a huge chunk of our lives dealing with this. That was an ongoing battle. So when you find yourself in a situation like that, you almost get to walk away and hover, literally hover, like almost spiritually from a bird's eye view, and look down upon your life. When you hit rock bottom, you're really able to zone in on what's happening in your life and find the aspects which matter. You realize the people who care about you, and you start to weed out all the fat. You start to eliminate the things that don't matter, the things that have added to the problems. And one of the things that remained consistent for us was our misfits, was our fans, was the people who cared about our music, people who cared about Yass and Bobby, people that actually truly cared about Dead Celebrity Status. And when you start to look at these people and the people that are there for us, you can start looking at their lives as well. And we found ourselves to be in a position as we were basically outsiders. We were the black sheep of the label. We were the black sheep of the industry at the time for what we were dealing with. We were the outcasts. We were the ones that didn't fit in. We were the ones that refused to conform. We were the ones that were, you know, against the grain. We were the ones, you know, on the edge of what was supposed to be normal. And we started looking at our fans and realizing they're very much in the same boat as us. And what I mean by that is a lot of the kids that we cater to that really appreciate us are, you know, what people would call loners, or people would call, you know, people that would call trouble, or people would call, you know, the weirdo, the strange kid, you know, the juggalo, whatever you want to look at. These are the kids that supported us and cared about us. And I'm not saying all of them, but a good portion. And so we started writing this album, and the album kind of manifests itself. You know, we started making songs, and we started building it, and it had this theme. It had this theme of you know, the phoenix rising from the ashes. It became very anthem-like. It was, you know, we were, because we were at rock bottom, because we were fighting, you know, we were trying to claw our way to a place to breathe again, and musically, and in our careers again. This isn't a hobby for us, right? Like, Bobby and I don't have part-time jobs, right? This is our job. We check in, we check out, and this is what puts food on the table. So this is everything to us. And it had this theme, and it started to really develop itself into what we were. And what we were was throwaway kids. We were what they tried to throw away, and we embraced that. And that's what really motivated us. It was the idea that, you know what, they don't want us, and we don't want them. And we are a small minority. They're the majority, right? They're the masses. They're the fucking sheep. They're the ones who have the control. They are the machine. And we're fighting against that. We're the ghost within that machine. And our fans and all these kids that we make music for are misfits as well. And that's why we call our fans misfits, right? They're the rebels. They're the ones, you know, they're the army in this fight. And so, you know, we really started to look at ourselves and our fans and started to really own it. And that's what it's about, what they, and we call they is the system, right? They is, you know, the corporate, you know, monsters. They is the media. They is, you know, all those that are trying to control us. They what they want to do, so when I say they, I say they, what they want to do is they want to keep us shackled. And I don't mean physically, but they want to keep us shackled mentally. And they do that by degrading us, by making us feel inferior, by making us feel like we're not worth it. And what we started to do is, what we do is we own it. We own being a throwaway kid. We like being a misfit. We like being the rebel. And I connect it a lot with the Juggalos, in all honesty, because I feel what Juggalos have done, all music aside, and forget about all the artists and the music, but just as individual people, you guys have built this family, and you have built this union that basically says to all the mainstream and them, you don't give a fuck, and fuck you, and we're here because we matter, and we don't want to fit in with you. We want to fit in with us, and this is our fight. And so, you know, our struggle and our fight was very similar of that. And so the Throwaway Kids became the whole concept of this whole album. And so that's why we call it the Throwaway Kids, you know, the Throwaway Kid You Call Me, a Throwaway Kid I Am. So it's kind of that's the theme. That's basically the main idea. When you listen to the album, it's very, a lot of those, you know, we touch on those themes. It's a constant us against them. And you know, we have a voice, and we say, you know, we, the problem is with a lot of people, a lot of our fans, they don't have the voice. And I mean, they don't have access to as many people as me and Bobby have. And so, you know, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to ourselves, and we have a responsibility to all those that are voiceless, you know, those that don't have the megaphone. And what we're trying to do is strip that megaphone away from the masses, you know, people that just want to sit around and talk about Miley Cyrus, you know. Fuck them, you know, that's them. We're trying to strip that megaphone from them that is so, you know, distorted, and start speaking some truth and make people, you know, belong and make people feel good to belong and really, you know, be proud of who they are and not accept what they are trying to do. So that's kind of in a nutshell what a Throwaway Kid is and what the album is, the Throwaway Kids.
Damn, I like it.
Yeah, that I there's no bullshit with us. You know, we're very you know, Bobby and I are who we are. You know, that's why we don't have an alias, right? We are you know, my name's Yassin, right? Yass is just short for Yassin, and Bobby is Bobby. And what people don't understand is that Music is our bloodline. You know, we said it on the last album. The reason we called that last album Blood Music is because, you know, music is our oxygen. Without it, we can't breathe. And what people don't understand is that not only is it our livelihood, but we put ourselves out there, right? We, you know, people say, you know, when people are emotional, they say they wear their heart on their sleeve. Well, we wear our heart in our music, right? Our music beats with our heart. Like, that is everything. So the things we say, you know, is just the pure, honest truth. We never try to write a song, or we never try to make music because we think, oh, shit, they're going to dig it. We always write music for ourselves first, and I think, you know, all true artists do that, right? You have to make music for you, and if you make music for you and it's genuine and it's honest, people are going to latch onto it. And like I said, we think, you know, we're starting this, you know, a revolution, you know, our own musical revolution for all those that, you know, don't have a place. And, you know, it's one of the reasons, again, I go back to it and I say it again, it's why I have so much love for movements, right? That's why I talk about, you know, the hip-hop movement that began, you know, the old skateboard movement, the punk rock movement, the Juggalo movement. These movements matter. They matter because there's people that need it. There are real people that are affected every day that don't get the help that, you know, suburban, rich, typical white kids get, you know, especially in America and in Canada. You know, there's a lot of lower income families. There's a lot of people from broken homes. There's a lot of kids that, you know, don't have anybody to go talk to. And what they do is they have music, right? Music is a form of therapy. It's our therapy, right? It's our way of getting what's on our chest and what's in our minds out there to the people. And a lot of kids, you know, they absorb this, right? They sit in their room. They have four walls, right? And no one to talk to. Who talks to them? Music, right? That's what music is, such a beautiful thing. And art in general, whether it's in film or whether it's in, you know, some sort of drawing, art is such an important thing. in the masses, them, again, them, what they try to do is they try to control it, right? They want to sell it to us. They want to take a counterculture and put it on a shelf and tell you this is cool. You need this. You need to stand in line for 12 hours to get the new iPhone fucking 10 because that's what's cool. No, that's not what's cool. What's cool is art and it has meaning. And so when I say Bobby and I, what we say in our music and why we make music is it's not just we need it. It needs us, and without it, you know, we literally cease to exist. So, you know, music and Dead Celebrity Status, it means everything. And connecting with fans and connecting with our family, we wouldn't be here without it. So they all connect, you know. We're all part of this system, this cycle. And it's an important cycle, and it's one that, you know, we talk about. And I'm glad I'm able to be on a platform with guys like you guys who get it and understand and allow us to be able to speak in this megaphone, right, and talk to those that are in their rooms alone listening, because it's important.
Well, then what would you say if you had an opportunity to change anything in industry? What would it be?
Oh, wow. Are we talking specifically just music or entertainment? Or?
Yeah, just the whole music scene.
Yeah, you know, music is it's been controlled, right? The biggest issue artists have is that you have, you know, literally one radio station, which is what I call it, because all these radio stations are ultimately controlled by the same, you know, the same powerhouse, and they have a mandate, right? They don't play music based on talent, right? Music isn't played because this isn't the 60s anymore, right? Where a disc jockey, a DJ would sit in a room and lock himself in and play one song for like 2 hours until the police would knock down the door and arrest him. That's the way they did shit back in the day. That's how some of the, you know, some of the, you know, Beatles albums broke. That's how some of the great, you know, artists broke, is because someone believed in it. And now what you have is the mandate is making money. The mandate is commercials. The mandate ultimately is selling a product, and using music as literally, you know, just a host, right? It's a host body. And what they do is that's why, you know, music is just it's fluff. Like, you can't listen to the radio anymore. You can't watch music videos anymore unless you're doing it specifically on YouTube, where you can pick exactly what you want to hear. But it's sad, right? There aren't even any music videos, barely, right? There are all these TV shows, reality TV shows on these networks. So, you know, my biggest problem is that. My biggest problem is it's no longer about the art. It's no longer about creativity. It's about regurgitating the same song over and over and over again. Oh, this is cool right now? Okay, we need to keep pumping 15 of these out for the next, you know, couple of months. And why I would love to change that more than anything is because when I grew up, I had an older brother. And being a young kid, you know, especially pre-internet, I would learn what was cool because of what my brother had. And so if my brother, you know, bought, you know, the new, you know, Iron Maiden album, you know, I'd go in his room and I would look through his record and I'd see this new album. Or if he bought the new Public Enemy album, right? That's how I found music. And it was passed on. And that's how music used to be. Great music was passed on. You made tapes, right? You made these little mixtapes and mix CDs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The way what's happening with kids today is it's all shit that's being passed down, right? It's garbage. Music's been mutated. It's been mutated into this prepackaged form of literally garbage, because I think the majority of music that's out today is garbage. And so what you're doing, what they've done is they've brainwashed, you know, generations of people to come. They no longer know what great music is, right? Unless they have a friend who specifically shows them, you know, yo, you got to check this out. They don't know about it. And so, you know, one of the biggest flaws is the, you know, the capitalistic side to music and how they've, you know, they've really artists don't make money, you know. It's hard to make money, and that's why we're all out there touring, right? We literally live to get out, you know. Playing a show is where we make our money, you know. Being out there and selling merch, people don't get it. We sell merch for a reason. We sell merch because that's how we eat. You know, when someone goes online and they buy my T-shirt, that actually puts food on my table, right? I'm not, you know, the big artist. I'm not, you know, Lil Wayne, you know, that has, you know, some giant corporate sponsor that pumps out, you know, millions of dollars of merch for him. We make our money being on the road. We make our money selling merch, and it's an uphill battle because the masses, because of them, they look down at us as this weird thing that's getting in the way of their very safe cookie cutter industry, and that's the biggest problem. It's this cookie cutter industry that's, you know, full of hypocrisy and a lack of talent. Think about it. Let me ask you guys a question. And I don't know how old you guys are or anything, but there was a time, think about it, there was a time when music that was popular, right, the idea of pop music, popular music, were actually good artists, right? And you guys remember the days of, you know, whether it was Pearl Jam or you know, it was Beastie Boys, right? I think these are great artists creatively, and they were popular. Today, you know, we have, you know, Waka Flocka. Like, and I don't know if you like Waka Flocka or not, and I don't mean to specifically pick on Waka Flocka or whatever his name is, but this is who's selling records. You know, this is who people think are great now. And there's no talent, right? It's a lack of talent that people deem as the top of the industry, and that's sad. And so that's my question. Do you guys remember a time where popular music was actually good music?
Yeah, a very long time ago.
That's it. That's exactly it. It was a long time ago.
Well, as in the past, like, 10 years, it has not been good at all.
And that's the problem. And the problem is, think about it, the last 10 years. So if you had kids, you know, that were 13 years old 10 years ago, and they've grown up on what's on the radio today, that's they are now 23 years old, all they know is garbage. Yet they can't see between. You see what I'm saying? So there's a whole generation, and it's only getting worse. So now you have a new era of kids, you know, that are 13, 14 years old, who are watching and thinking, you know, this is what's hot, this is what's good, right? And in between, you have some good artists, right? In between, like, I'm not saying every single artist, right? I'm a Jay-Z fan. I think Jay-Z is an incredible artist. And you have a guy like that, or you have, you know, like I said, you know, I like AFI or System of a Down. You know, you have these artists, but as a whole, you know, again, as you said, brother, it's been a long time. It's been, you know, years since the industry has been dominated by real creative artists. And I think the underground movements, you know, things like, you know, Strange Music and Psychopathic Records and, you know, all these underground artists, you know, are coming back, you know, we no longer need them, right? It's about doing things ourselves, right? That's what we're about, you know, 682 Records and Dead Celebrity Status. It's about making music for kids that care. And we don't need to be caught up in that, because fighting the system, as your question was, what can I change? You know, that's if I had, you know, that genie in a bottle, right? If I was able to have, because that's what it would take. It would literally take magic. It would take magic to change the system. So what do you do in that sense? You have to create within the system, which is what, you know, what we are all trying to do now. You know, we're bringing the independent scene back, right? We're doing things on our own. We're going back to the days of the DIY, do it yourself, and not rely on anybody else. And with fans like that are out there today, you know, we're able to do that. But that's all we got to do. We just got to keep fighting and not get brainwashed by what the masses are paying attention to.
That's another thing, man, like how, like, the underground artists and whatnot, they do some, like, crazy shit, right? But then, like, if, like, mainstream artists do, like, the same thing, then it's labeled as, like, you know, cool, you know, and this is what you should do, you know, pretty much taking credit for what we've already done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what happens, right? See, and I'll talk about hip-hop. I talk about hip-hop a lot because, you know, I we grew up in the 80s, you know, during the golden era of hip-hop. And what we saw happen to it is literally the raping of a culture. We watched, you know, something that was so important to us get eaten alive by the mainstream. And that's what they do. The media, right, and the corporations, they're constantly paying attention. The thing is, they're not dummies, right? They're always looking to find what's cool, right? And they're always trying to sell us what is cool. So, you know, us indie artists, you know, as you said, we do something, you know, because not for fame or for money, we do it, you know, artistically. We're trying to challenge the norms, right? We're trying to challenge ourselves. We're trying to create something fresh, and it's authentic, right? It's something organic, and it's authentic, and it's cool because the kids said it was cool, right? They looked at what we did and they said, "Oh, wow, this is cool," and it built into and it turned into, you know, this legacy. And then what you have is you have a suit, right? You have a bunch of dudes, you know, in a boardroom that go, "Hey, Frank, I heard, you know, this is the kids are loving this on the underground, and oh, how could we make money off of it? Oh, well, maybe we could put it in a Sprite commercial, or maybe we can do this. We can put it, you know, on MTV, can have a reality show." Like, that's what they do, right? And then, therefore, what they do is they end up raping that culture, right? They eat it alive. They vulture off of it. They chew it up, and they eat as much of it. They're kind of like, you know, the vulture, you know, or I guess is it a raven or a vulture, whatever is in the desert, you know, when the person passes out and they're almost about to die. And then there's those birds, right? And they just hover. They're just waiting for that person to pass out so they can feast. And that's what corporations are constantly doing. That's what suits are constantly doing. They're constantly looking for the next feast. They're looking for the next thing they can exploit. And what they love to do is they love to exploit, you know, the underground, because things happen there first, right? They happen there and they happen properly. And then you get finding a way to make a buck, and not just make a buck, make all the bucks, make as much money as possible, and then when there's nothing left, they spit it out and they move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely. And my opinion is, I think we need to get rid of Lil Wayne. He's horrible.
Well, dude, I can make you a list of who they need to get rid of, but again, it goes back to, you know, I think Lil Wayne sucks. Here's the problem. The problem isn't Lil Wayne anymore. The problem is the people who were accepting it, right?
Oh, my God, yes.
Right? You see what I'm saying? Like, I can't be pissed at Lil Wayne because at the end of the day, Lil Wayne's doing as he would say. He's being, what does he say? You do you, I be me, whatever the fuck that is. That's what he's doing. He's being what he's supposed to be. And the problem is the people. The problem is people that accept that. People that look up to him as like some sort of, you know, God, you know, this great artist. No, he's not. And there was a time, you know, where people would laugh at him. People would boo him up. People would not allow him to gain the acceptance he has, right? They would call him out on his bullshit.
Can we go back to that?
I would love to. We're trying, brother. We're trying. And you know how it happens? It happens with artists that matter, right? And it happens with the underground, right? It happens with supporting art. It happens with supporting people who are putting more into their music than just a dollar, right? Because people that are just looking to get paid, at the end of the day, we all need to get paid, right? Everybody, we all work jobs, right? We all need to make a living. We're fortunate enough that music is our living, and we need to make a buck. But once we start making music specifically for that money, we will no longer be making art. You know what I'm saying? Well, all we are making is a product. We're making a product for consumers, right? We're just selling something. We might as well, you know, just open up a garage and sell products, you know, a warehouse and sell a product. We're not trying to sell a product. We're trying to make a living off of creating art. And what we need to do is we need to support these movements, right? Which is, again, why, again, I'm such a supporter of these underground movements, like the Juggalo movement. One of the best things that Juggalos do is they support their own, right? They chant family, and they mean it. I've been there. I've been on the road. I played for them, and I see how they act. And you know, people will have a negative light, and people will say specific things about Juggalos, and it's mainly because they just don't get it, right? And it's prejudice, right? It's another form of racism. People will always make fun of, and people will always criticize things they just don't understand. And what I understand from Juggalos is that they support each other and they care about each other and they support their artists and they help, you know. If there weren't Juggalos, ICP would not be where it is today, right? And what ICP is a very successful group, a group that is able to continually play shows and put out music and start a record label and put out other artists. That's because of Juggalos, right? Yes, it has to do with them making their music and their art, but it has to do with a movement, and that's what's important. You know, Tech N9ne went through the same thing, right? Tech N9ne made his music, and he made good music, and he was able to build a following that supported him. Because if no one's supporting him, if people aren't actually buying Tech N9ne albums, Tech N9ne doesn't become what he is. And he doesn't get to continue to make the music he makes. And, you know, whether it's Mars or whether it's, you know, Slaughterhouse, there's all these indie artists that are creating and putting their passion into it and having people to support. And that's what we need to support. We need to support, you know, the movements. We need to support the underground. We need to take care of each other. Because if we rely on the machine, then, you know, you're going to get stuck listening to a lot of, you know, One Direction for the rest of your life, which...
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well shoot me, you know what I mean? I'd rather just be deaf at that point. So that's what we need to do.
You know, I think that should bring us to Ghetto's other question, his MP3 question.
Sure.
Go ahead, man, shoot it.
Hey, you ask it, because every time I ask it, I'm
sorry. Now, if we were to go through, say, a CD of yours or an MP3 player, iPod, whatever you got, what would be the most embarrassing song we would find on there?
Most embarrassing song? Huh. I'm very eclectic, so I have, like, you know, I got the iPod. I don't have, like, the touchscreen iPod. Purposely, because it doesn't have a big enough storage hard drive on it, so I got like the last of the old school ones that has like, you know, 60 gigs, and I basically have 60 gigs of music on my iPod. I have over 35,000 songs on my iPod, so I have everything on there. I'm a big 80s nut. So I have tons of 80s music. In fact, Bobby and I, that's what we do before shows and when we're traveling, when we're touring. We just pump 80s music all day. But if I were to find something, like, what was I'm trying to think? Oh, you know what? I probably have Hangin' Tough on there by the New Kids on the Block.
Nice.
Yeah, I know for a fact I'm trying to be all cool. I got it. Yeah, I got Hangin' Tough, and I have Games by the New Kids on the Block. That song, I got that song too. Those are pretty embarrassing, I guess. But they're fun. They're old nostalgic tracks. Who else do I have that would be embarrassing? I'll stick with the New Kids on the Block for now.
Come on, something way out there, something nobody would even think that you would even listen to.
Oh, shit. I got some weird, like, I got, like, Zamfir. I don't know if you guys know who Zamfir is. He's, like, he plays, like, a pan flute. It's, like, he plays, like, classical music with a pan flute. Most people wouldn't even know what the hell that is. I got him. I got, what else do I have? I got, you know, a guy named Philip Glass, who's he's actually one of my favorite artists. He makes like minimalist classical music, actually like more modern minimalist music. Really, really cool, smart, technical stuff. I don't know. Nothing embarrassing though. I love music, and I love, you know, in my iPod really jumps from 80s to, you know, to jazz, to classical, to old school hip hop, underground hip hop, metal. We're big metal heads, so we love, you know, we love our old school metal, Iron Maiden, AC/DC, you know, Black Sabbath, you know, lots of punk rock. We listen to a lot of punk rock. Embarrassing? I don't know. Maybe, you know, I got like funny stuff like Tiffany, you know what I mean, and Debbie Gibson, you know, I think we're alone now, like all that type of shit. So yeah, fun stuff like that, I guess.
No, that pretty much answers it.
Yeah. well, let me ask you guys, if I went through your iPods, what would I find that would be embarrassing or outlandish?
Man, that's a good question.
Yeah. Put you in the hot seat now.
I probably got some weird shit, man. You don't understand. like some parody type tracks, you know, like crazy.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't know. I think for me, it would probably have to be Big Time Rush.
Rush?
No,
he
Big
said,
Time
who the
Rush.
Hell is that?
Did you say Rush, like the Canadian band Rush?
No, you said Big Time Rush.
Oh, Big Time Rush.
As in, like, that Nickelodeon band.
Yeah. That's amazing, dude. I think you got me beat there because I don't have anything Nickelodeon on my iPod. In fact, I can't even talk to you anymore. I'm going to get off this phone call now. Just like, it's awesome.
We got our boy Chill with us. Chill, you got any questions or...
Why'd you have to scare him off like that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, no, that's good, dude. I got nickel. Actually, I know for a fact I have no Nickelback, but I do have New Kids on the Block. So I think I kind of beat everyone, to be honest.
Well, see, that's better than some Nickelback. I'll give you that.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. I can't put that Chad Kroeger dude on my iPod. I actually think my iPod would just die if that voice came on. I think the whole thing would just die right there.
It's funny that you say that, because just the other day that song came on the radio with Josie Scott and that dude and my sister.
Yeah.
I'm turning this shit off while I'm not even listening to this.
Yeah, I can't do it. I honestly can't do it. It's funny, we played a show. We played a show with Nickelback, big festival. We did this huge festival here in Canada, in a town just outside of Edmonton, and it was like us on the main stage and a couple of other big bands, but it was like mainly like us and Nickelback as two of the big headliners, and we got lost. We were like, so the city we were playing was. It was kind of like out in the field, like out in like a farming field, and there was going to be like 30,000 people, like this huge festival. And we actually, funny story is, we had a sponsorship with Circa. I don't know if you guys know Circa, like Circa skateboard gear, like shoes and T-shirts and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah.
And so Circa had sent, they were sponsoring us, and so they had sent us a shipment, and you love shipments because that means free gear. And they sent the shipment of gear for us in Edmonton, which was about 40, 45 minutes away from where the show is, which is out in the middle of nowhere. And so we were going to be on stage like at, you know, like 7 o'clock, 7, 8 o'clock, right? And we were traveling from another city to get to there. So instead of going straight to the venue, we're like, we got free shit. We got to get our gear. We got to get the merch. And we had a small timeline, so we split the band up in half. So we sent our stage manager, our boy Ty, and one of the other guys to the venue just so we had a presence and knew we weren't a no-show. And the rest of us took off to go get our merch, our gear, our free stuff. And so we go, we get our stuff, and it's all great. And now we're late. We're literally, we got to be on stage like in an hour, and we're about 45 minutes away from the venue, and we get lost. So we're like all panicking. We're all trying to find it. And keep in mind, it's kind of like redneck territory where we're at this point. So everyone's got a pickup truck. Everywhere you look, there's pickup trucks. And this one pickup truck, so we start going, let's just follow people. Wherever these people are going, I guarantee you they're going to the concert because there's nothing else out here happening. So we start following this one pickup truck, this huge, like real men driving that pickup truck, type of pickup truck. And they're blasting. They have these speakers. I don't know what kind of speakers they have, but they're blasting Nickelback out of this vehicle. So it's like, it's a dead ringer. It's, of course, they're going to the show. We're just going to follow them, and we'll get to where we need to get. So as we're driving, and all we hear is Nickelback blasting, and it's really annoying because it's like, who listens to the band on their way to the band, especially a band like that? We drive up next to this pickup truck, and all you see is Chad Kroeger, the lead singer from Nickelback, in the passenger seat, rocking out to his own music on the way to his own show, and he just looks over us and just gives us like the devil horns, like rock and roll. And we all just start laughing. We all just like burst out of, because we think he sucks, and we all just start laughing because it was a really comical situation. And we just literally cut him off the road, got to where we got to go, and played the show. We made it literally just in time. We parked the van, and they're like, you got to be on stage right now. But that's my Chad Kroeger story. It's not very often you find, a rock star driving to his show, cranking his own tunes, and just singing like it's his own concert in the vehicle. So it was pretty hilarious, to be honest.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, it was retarded. It was just like, what? So, yeah, that's my Nickelback story.
So back to you, Chill. Do you have a question?
I think we scared Chill.
Huh?
But, you know, so I do have a question for you.
Yeah. Wait, what happened to Chill? Where'd Chill go?
I'm right here.
Oh, Chill, what's up? I thought you transformed into a dog. All I heard was, where's Chill? And then I heard some dog yelp. I was like, holy shit. Which would be amazing if you were able to just, like, morph into a dog and just disappear when you didn't want to talk. That would be sick.
I would.
All right, who's got a question? What do we got?
Check it out, man. How would you say you... You guys, as an artist, have grown from, from the time of like your first, like very first out in track to now.
From like the first time we ever made music?
Yep.
I think there's two sides of it. When Bobby and I started, we were kids. We were like 12, 13 years old. And I don't mean just like making music in our basements. Like when I was 13, 14, both of us, we were just young teenagers. We were touring with Public Enemy, right? So we were doing like professional shows and built up a name and a reputation for a long period of time. And I think the two things, so from that point to this point is one is just artistically, creatively, we've come leaps and bounds. We've recorded almost four albums, three albums with our old group, Project Wise, one album with Dead Celebrity Status that came out a couple of years ago, the Blood Music album. So this is, our fifth album with hundreds of unreleased tracks, especially from when we were younger, because, you didn't have money to make a CD. You went in the studio and you cut a song and you put it out. So I think creatively and artistically, we grow. I think just if you look at the last two albums, from Blood Music to this album, it's only, it's been 7 years, and I think just lyrically, we've taken it to the next step. I think musically, we've taken it to the next step. I think we try to challenge ourselves artistically as much as we can and push the boundaries. We don't, and we don't make music where we go, someone makes us a beat, and we go in and we rock a 16 over it and put a hook on it. Well, the way we make music, here's a little bit into the world of Dead Celebrity Status, is we really make music the way old school rock bands made music. So we go in a studio, you know, we got our boy, whether it's our boy Fairchild, our producer, or another guy we write with, Rekka. We start from the ground. We literally, you know, we pick up a guitar, we come up with a riff, we play some piano, you know, we hit some keys, we come up with a melody. Or Bobby and I might have a hook, you know, an idea that we sing or chant, and we start literally with that one piece of music, and then we build, right? It's not just some drums and add a couple of keys and that's it. We really try to build and structure music musically. And when you listen to our music, there's a lot of elements, there's a lot of layers to our music. And I think that's one of the things we've really grown and really gotten better at. Nothing frustrates me more than an artist that I love that puts out an album and I think it sucks. Or I think, you know, you always hear people say, their first album was so much better, what's happened to them? You know, and I'll give you an example. A band like Metallica. You know, I grew up listening to Metallica and loved Metallica. And then I felt Metallica got to a point, you know, once they got to like Fuel or whatever those albums were, where I just thought they just sucked. They were really bad albums. And I never think they've ever been able to capture what they did on Puppets. They never captured what they did, you know, on Justice for All. And it's frustrating, right, as a super fan, because you just want them to go back to what's good. So, you know, that's one example. And I think Bobby and I constantly challenge ourselves to make music that is us. We never try to make something that's completely outlandish that our fans would hate, but we always try to take it to the next level and try. How can we be experimental with the Dead Celebrity Status style? How can we be progressive with it and make it better? And so we constantly challenge ourselves that way, lyrically as well. And then the other side, so that's the one side. The other side I think is important is how we've just grown as people. And you know, a lot has changed just in the last 7 years, right? And I started off earlier on in this interview with the fact that, you know, Bobby and I have gone through, you know, we've always gone through trials and tribulations. I mean, we've always found hardships and roadblocks. And I think those are the things that make us who we are today, right? It's not hanging out and having a good time with your buddies that makes you the person you are. It's when you get hit with adversity, right? It's when you come face to face with challenges in your life. Those are the things that make you who you are, because they make you reassess what's happening and literally, you know, problem solve your way through life. And it's those things that help you mature, right? That's how come, you know, teenagers aren't mature, they say, you know, until you're a grown up. It's because once you're grown, you know, you've dealt with grown up issues and dealing with hard times, being pushed up against a wall, you know, having everything you had crash on you and trying to pick up those pieces, it changes who you are and it shapes, you know, it shape shifts you into the person I am today, into the person Bobby is today. And so our music, as I said, you know, we make our heart is in our music, right? Our blood is in that music. We make, you know, blood on beats, that's what we make. And so who we are is very representative within the context of our music and in our themes and in our delivery and everything we do emotionally. So, you know, we create these connections. And I think those are the two things. I think artistically, creatively, we constantly want to challenge ourselves and make good music. And then the second part is we take our surroundings in terms of life and what we've gone through and bring it within our art, because they are one and the same, right? Our music, our art are, you know, they work symbiotically with who we are as people. So those would be the two things mainly that have really been a difference from when we first started.
Hell yeah. Now, all right, man, I gotta ask you, off of the throwaway kids, what track would you say is your most favorite, and which track would you say has the most meaning to you?
Yeah, see, that's actually a very tough question. I think, and I don't want to be corny or anything, or cliche, I guess, or colloquial, but I think every song is special to us. Now, to get to the bottom of it, there are a couple that hit home. One of the songs is a song called Nothing in Common. It's the last song on the album. It's very autobiographical about our careers, right? It's when you listen to it, it's very personal about what we've gone through, some of the things, some of the challenges, you know, with record labels, you know, radio blackballing us, you know, marketing teams trying to change our identity, you know, us just not fitting into the formulaic box of the mainstream, right, and accepting that, right? That's a very personal song, Nothing in Common, and I recommend anybody to listen to it. If you really want to know about Yas and Bobby just as two people, that one really hits home. Another song which is very important is a song called Dancing on the Sun. As you notice, you know, with me talking, you know, socio-political things are very important to me and us. That's a very political song about, you know, the moral corruption that we see every day in this world. And you know, this world isn't corrupt. It's people who have corrupted it. And, you know, we touch on a bunch of, you know, subjects around the world, global issues that need to be addressed. One particular being, you know, the persecution and the extreme racism in the Western world against Muslims. Right, I am a Muslim, and seeing what's happened to my people, you know, during a post 9/11 environment in the Western world, has really been it's been a very tough place for us, and you know, the way media and Hollywood projects us, you know, we are the enemy. You know, we are what, you know, America should be scared of, and that is just hate, right? It's just hate mongers. It's hate mongers that have control over the media that have created and instilled this fear into the people, and they do it through a threat. You know, they've created a threat. You know, whether it's across the seas, and they've invaded other countries and created this concept of protecting America, and a lot of it is wrong, and they've persecuted an entire people, and they continue. So that song is very personal, because it's you know, I come from you know, I grew up in the 80s where I saw a lot of things like you know, civil rights things happening where you know, bands like Public Enemy were talking about, you know, the inequality with African Americans in America, and then, you know, NWA with the persecution of black people from the police brutality. And so, yeah, I also the ideas of feminism and women fighting to get, you know, their equal place in this world. So I've always been a believer and a supporter and a fighter for equality and justice. And, you know, so that song's very important to talk about those things. It's not about blaming anybody, but it's about we need to take ownership of the problems around us to make it a better place. Another song, the last one I'll touch on real quickly is a song called Hurts Like. Hurts Like Fuck is kind of how the hook goes. And that one's important because continuing with what I was just saying, you know, it's got a lot of feminist issues. We a lot of times we like to tell stories for the blind, so make movies for the blind, I should say. So you can, you know, just lay down in the dark and listen to our songs, and they really play out like little mini films. And in that sense, it's really about the idea of beauty and what people perceive as perfect. And we live in a very superficial world today where, you know, cookie cutter models are what young girls thrive to be like, what they try to emulate. And ultimately, you know, there is no such thing as perfect, right? Magazines make things perfect. They make it unachievable, and it's done to sell a product, right? It's done to have, you know, people feel bad about themselves, have body issues and beauty issues. Therefore, they spend money on fixing themselves, right? Going to the gym, buying cosmetics, getting plastic surgery, constantly feeling bad about yourself, constantly feeling like you're not good enough. And it's all done to make money, right? And so that's an issue that we like to talk about. And another thing, I'll go back to Juggalos. I have to. Juggalos have their own perception of what beautiful is, right? And I love the face paint. I love the way they act and dress and look, because it's a big fuck you. It's a big fuck you to the system. It's a big fuck you to anybody who tells them what they're supposed to look like. And I think that's a very important thing in this day and age, is that we're constantly being fed what our identity should look like, who we should act like, what we should sound like. And it's all when you really get to the bottom of it, right? When you really try to understand why they make you feel this way, it all comes down to making money, right? They make money off of our insecurities. They exploit our insecurities for profit. And it's really a sick idea. So, you know, that song is very important to talk about those issues, as well as, you know, things like cancer that you know, I think almost everybody we know today has had, has been touched by somebody who has had cancer. And it's important for us to, you know, talk about some issues in hip-hop that nobody else talks about. And I think that's really what helps separate Dead Celebrity Status, is the fact that, you know, we challenge the status quo. We do not try. We just do. And what we do constantly is we like to touch on subjects that make people feel uncomfortable. And not like in a crazy way, like in a fantasy way, like, you know, a slaughter your family with a machete type way, but in a way of, there's a lot of issues that are happening that people just don't talk about, and people might talk about behind closed doors. We've kicked the door down, right? I think that, you know, that's what Dead Celebrity Status does. That's what our Misfits do. I think that's what Juggalos do. We kick down doors and we speak about things that everybody else is too scared to talk about. People behind their white picket fence that would rather, you know, just be consumed with their two-door garage and their little family and, you know, their little cookie-cutter lunch pails and their little nine-to-five jobs and not worry about anything that's happening outside of their little picket white fence, right? Their idea of the American dream. And we're here to shake things up. We're here to rattle some cages, and, you know, let the beast out of the cage. Let people know what's going on. And again, when people hear us talk about these things, they relate to these things. And when people can relate to these things, you have a chance to make a difference in someone's life. And that's what's important. Again, I go back to the whole therapy of music. It is so important because so many people need it. A lot of people don't have someone they could talk to, or therapy they can pay for, or even an education that they can, you know, study in books and understand their psychosis better. Sometimes all people have is music, and that's what's important to us, is to create music that people can be free with and hopefully help themselves with, and in return help us, because we need an audience. We're helping ourselves at the same time with therapy, and it's very important that, you know, we all come together as a community and as a family. So ultimately, you know, every song has very special meaning. The title track, the first single, The Throwaway Kids, is kind of, you know, as the whole theme that I've already discussed. But, you know, we got a line in that song where we say, you know, straight up, we're talking about, you know, Juggalos and Misfits tackling the Giants. And it's that statement is very important, because, again, it's people fighting against a machine, right? That's what the Giant is. The Giant is them. If you listen to Them, which is the intro to our album, if you don't like my music, if anyone's out there said, you know what, Dead Celebrity Status sucks and all that, that's cool. What I would recommend, though, what I would ask anyone, just go listen to the intro. There's no music. There's no rapping. It's more of like a spoken word piece. And I think a lot of people can relate to what's being taught, because it's about bullying. It's about, you know, being pushed aside. It's about not fitting in and standing up and no longer being cocooned by the ideas of somebody else. So, yeah, go find that track, Them, the intro. You know, I think a lot of I think it'll hit home to a lot of people because that's us. That's what we've gone through. So hopefully our pain and suffering will correlate with others, and together, you know, we can fight back.
Hell yeah, man. Now, of course, we got about 8-7 minutes left until we go off air. So I got a couple more questions. Actually, you know, to touch back into a previous question, did you think of any more artists that, you know, that you would like to work with that you have not worked with yet?
Oh, shit, yeah, you got me there, eh? I would love, I know we would love, you know, there's some hip-hop artists we would love to work with. Again, you know, Tech N9ne would be great. I think someone like Nas, we would love someone like Lupe Fiasco because he's very political and, you know, he talks about a lot of things that, you know, are similar in terms of waking people up. And then, you know, there's a lot of, I think, you know, Twisted would be rad. I think if we did something with Twisted, because I think those guys can spit, would be rad. I think, again, I'd still love to do something with someone like System of a Down or AFI or, do you know what would be weird? Like, do you know what would be super rad? Like, I don't know if you guys even like this band or anything, but we like doing really quirky things. Like, and if we ever had an opportunity, especially to make it DCS, like, there's this band, they're pretty popular too, called Florence and the Machine. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
They're like, they're pretty popular. They got like it's a female singer, and she does like, it's like indie raw. I don't even know how to explain what it is, but, I think if we got our hands and were able to collab with someone like that, we'd probably do something really crazy. Ozzy would be a dream to be able to get in the studio with Ozzy. We've toured with him. You know, we've been around him a lot. I don't know. Who would you recommend? If you can see Dead Celebrity Status, let me throw the question back in all of your tables, or hot seats, I should say. Who would you like to see us work with? What do you think would be cool?
How about our co-host Ghetto G here?
Man, I ain't even up there yet, man. First, I need a lot of work to be on that page, man.
It's tricky, right? When you really think about it, it's hard to really. To really hone in. We've done stuff, you know, with Swollen Members. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, Matt Child and Swollen Members. We've done tracks with them, and we're very very particular, again, with who we work with. Again, we worked with So Sick Social Club, you know, that was a great, again, that's our family, and that was a really good collab. The track is Flickering. Go scoop that on iTunes. Those are our boys, and that was really cool. Who else is out there? I don't know. You'll have to get me on that another day, because I'd have to really. You know, what's funny though is there's always ideas. You just caught me at a time where I can't really think of anything else than what I've already mentioned.
I think you guys should do a track with this dude I know. His name's Nick Rage.
Nick Rage.
Yeah.
Where is he? I feel like I know that name.
Well, he's all over Facebook and the internet and all that, but he's from Pittsburgh, where I'm from.
Pittsburgh Cat, okay. Nick Rage, I can't say neither here nor there. I'd have to check him out, but I feel like I know that name, though. Nick Rage, I will totally go check that out.
Because he's done a track with, like, Chris Calico. He just did a track with the Joker and things like that.
Okay, cool. Cool, Nick Rage, I will totally scope that out. Pittsburgh Cat, cool.
Actually, you know, I think a band that you guys should definitely do a track with, Dope.
Oh, Dope, like the band Dope?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I think we played a show with them, or a couple of shows with them back in the day. I think they were on Ozfest with us at one point, or like one, it was some festival we were on and Dope was on it. So, yeah, those guys are cool.
Oh, yeah. Now, for my last question for you, man, out of all the shows that, you know, that you guys have done, tours and everything, what would you say has been the most weirdest thing that happened to you during a show?
Wow. You know, crazy things have happened. we, I don't know, there's a lot of, you know, a couple of moments. I remember we were playing a show in our hometown, Sudbury, at this place called the Townhouse, really cool, kind of like underground punk rock bar. We caused such a crazy crowd experience, like just people surfing, like just bodies flying all over the air, like just madness. It got so out of hand that the fire department ended up showing up, and during our set, the whole fire department just walked in, like literally shut down the show, lights on, and it's a very weird thing to see, you know, a bunch of dudes in firemen, you know, a bunch of firemen show up to shut down the show because things got so crazy. That was really weird. But it was great. You know, we all had to evacuate and hang out in front of a bunch of fire trucks at, you know, 2 a.m. while we're, you know, in mid performance, which was crazy. 'Cause then you had hundreds of kids outside the venue just going even more crazy. That was cool. There was a kid once. We played a show, and it wasn't during the show, but we were doing a kind of like an autograph session, and this fan just walked up to us and reached down and took his leg off and just put the leg up on the table for us to sign. And it was like, what just happened? That was really crazy and strange. And he's still a fan, and he still keeps in contact with us. Rad kid. But that was the first time we ever had someone sign, like, their fake leg, which was just mind-blowing. I don't know. This is a lot of, tour is crazy. Every day is a crazy day. It's like every day is a Saturday. So you end up traveling to a new town, getting to a town, and everything's the same. And then you get up on stage, and it's just, you know, it's a whirlwind. It's just complete madness. So literally, well, Bobby and I are going to write a book one day, and there's so many stories and so many crazy things that have happened on stage that, yeah, I would have to literally sit down and just start naming them off. But there's a couple, you know, the fire department shutting us down once, prosthetic leg signing another time. Those are a couple of ones that I could think of right now.
Hell yeah. But, you know, and of course, you know, like, I know, this, you know, this is definitely cost you like a shitload of money, man. But you know, and I definitely have to say thank you for taking time out to actually, you know, come up on here with us again, man.
Yeah, no, it was really cool, and we really loved doing it. Unfortunately, Bobby couldn't be on today. He really wanted to. He's actually been under the weather for literally the last 2 weeks. Dude's just been so sick, and he's got like the immune system of like, you know, a titan. Like nothing gets that dude down for too long, and he's been battling for the last 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks. So, and then he had some family stuff, and he actually had to go out of town today. He's out of town right now with some close friends of ours. Our boy Steve, the Animal Faulkner, and Andrew Over the Limit Faulkner, close friends of ours and family, and so he was supposed to be home, but he couldn't be home in time, unfortunately. But next time we'll get him on, and we love this, you know. I love, you know, we do a lot of, I'll be honest, even though I'll get in trouble for it, we do a lot of bullshit interviews, you know, a lot of bullshit radio stations, where it's very, again, right, it's very cliche. The questions they ask are very safe. And it's always the same questions. I prefer doing stuff like this, right? We get to have it more than, you know, 15 minutes. We get to bond. You guys really get to get into our heads, and you guys ask good questions. You guys want to know about real things, and people out there really get to be part of this whole movement we're creating. And more than anything, I thank you guys. You know, I think you guys are doing a great job. I love the show. We check it out all the time. This is my second time being on here, and, you know, I'm honored and I'm blessed. And, I, you know, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you guys for having me on here and, you know, spreading the word of Dead Celebrity Status. And anything I can ever do, we can ever do to repay, you know, we got you guys back. You know, you guys are family, and we really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. And all I gotta say is, you know, My new favorite track off of the Throwaway Kids, man, I gotta be honest, is DCS Madness, Massive, actually, man.
Oh, you like that one? Cool. That's Cool. I'm glad you like that one. That's on some, you know, some lyrical battle type shit. We got our boy Meg T on the track, as well as, you know, a Canadian legend, Decisive, one of Canada's best MCs on that track. Good friend of ours. So, yeah, I'm glad you like that one, man.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, you know, the way I look at it, you know, it's different because, you know, cause it's like, you know, like, when you listen to it, like, in a way, like, you know, like, when, like, I think it's Meg T or Decisive. I don't know which one has like, you know, the,
The reggae, yeah, that's Meg T doing the reggae stuff.
Yeah, man. It, you know, it's always definitely dope. You know, like to hear you guys doing something different, like, you know, like especially something like with like a reggae style. So you know what I mean.
Well, listen, if I could quickly tell you about that, you know, Meg T is brilliant. He's an incredible artist, you know, incredible performer. He's just great. He's from Jamaica. And to be honest, Bobby and I never really ever thought about doing a reggae song. You know, that's really not us. It's not Dexter Love. We don't make songs with reggae in it. But we made this track with our producer, Marky Fairchild. And it was just, it had this really cool, dark vibe. And you know, we wrote some crazy lyrics. And again, we wanted to challenge ourselves. What do we do that our fans aren't expecting? What is something that can challenge ourselves? And it was like, what if we got some reggae on here? And really, there was only one person we wanted to go to, someone who kind of has like a dark a vibe to them with what they do, and it was Meg T. And we brought Meg T in the studio just to test it out, and he blew us away. You know, everything he did was literally on the spot, like all freestyle, like not pre-written. He just went in there on the mic and just went nuts, right? This whole, come take a trip with us, and it was just, it was mind fucking. It was like, this is really cool. And again, we were able to do reggae in a way that I don't think anybody else has done. It's very DCS. And again, we've bent the genres, and that's what we like to do. We call ourselves genre benders. We like to bend genres. And so, yeah, with that song, I think we were, you know, all together, we were able to come up with something really cool. And I love it when people love that song. So I appreciate that, man. That's very cool.
Anytime, man. Like I said, you know, like, I know this is definitely cost you a lot of money, man. So that what we're let you go, you know, so that way you don't end up cost you even more money, you know what I mean?
You know, it's all cool. I appreciate it. If I could just say lastly, you know, thank you all out there listening. I really appreciate support this station, you know, Juggalo Rider Radio. It's important. You know, these guys are doing something that's against the grain, right? They're not conforming. So, you know, support these guys, because if you guys are out there listening to what these guys are doing, they'll continue to bring people like us on the show and play good music and have good conversation. So thank you guys. Thank you, everybody, for, you know, listening in. I do want to send everybody to our website, deadcelebritystatus.com. You know, follow us on Twitter, DC Status. Follow us on Facebook, DC Status. You know, we have a great team with Cliff over at Society Media, really doing great things. And we're going to be starting something up pretty soon called Misfit Mondays. It's part of our Dead TV, so we're going to be airing kind of like these episodes literally every Monday. So I want everyone to pay it, you know, follow us, see what's going on. And the new album is out. So please, the new album, The Throwaway Kids, please support that. That's what gets us out to play, you know, live for you guys. We got merch, we got T-shirts, we got everything. Go to the website, 682 Records, deadcelebritystatus.com. And again, you guys, it's been a blessing. It's been a pleasure. You guys need anything, DCS has got you back. So
yeah,
thank you guys very much.
Oh, yeah, thank you, man.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Thank you, guys. Family for life from the bottom of my heart, all right?
Hell yeah, bud.
All right. Awesome, guys. Misfits for life. Let's take over. Peace.
Peace. Hell yeah, man. So, ghetto, chill, man. What'd you guys think of Yaz, man?
That shit was pretty deep.
He's a cool dude, man. I like interviews like it.
That shit was pretty dope. That was fresh.
Hell yeah, man. And shit, man, you know, like, it's always, you know, it's always dope, you know, especially have someone like, you know, like him up on here with us. I mean, dude's like really like real down to earth, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So we need more orders like it.
That would be tight.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna put it this way: we need more orders like that. Period. Not just for interviews,
but in the industry itself, no fucking Lil Wayne or fucking Waka Flocka.
And the only reason I said that they should do a song with Nick Rage is because, you know, he said he likes, you know, like, crazy shit, you know, funny stuff, you know. And, you know, Nick Rage does, like, the same thing when he raps.
Oh, hell yeah, definitely.
So I think those two would, you know, make a pretty decent track. As where I heard that Joker and Nick Rage track earlier, and that was,
Well, yeah, I mean, come on, he's working with the Joker.
I didn't realize it was, like, a contest thing. I thought it was, like, you know, an album that they were doing with, like, all these different people featured on it. But it's the same song, just different verses.
What the fuck? So, in other words, they're doing, like, fucking retorted-ass Hobson does.
Well, at least that's what I'm seeing, anyway, because it's the name of the same track, except it's just got a different second verse.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It sounds so much like the freaking funk volume crap that Hobson puts out.
And on top of that, man, the Joker verse on it that he thinks he's so hard on, it's not even that great. I think Chill should do that contest.
What, do a rap?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll work on it.
His rap name could be For Show.
Yeah, there you go, For Show. Because everybody says all he says is For Show.
Yeah.
it really is. That was pretty much the only thing he ever said to me talking on Facebook. Even here.
Yeah, hella.
And then he comes by and he just says hella, which answers nothing and says nothing. Now you could just say, like, hell yeah, or that's what's up. You know, something that actually means something.
Yeah, but I don't think... But Chill doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He
great. Hello. Brace yourself. Okay. Brace yourself. Here comes Niagara Falls.
Man, I've been holding it in throughout the entire interview.
It's only been, like, 2 hours.
Exactly.
Come on, man. You never took, like, a long road trip and couldn't go to the bathroom?
If I had to take a piss, I'd make sure to put on the stuff, and I'll just fucking piss on the side of the road. You know, I really didn't expect him to say New Kids on a Block, though.
Why not? It's not really... that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, unlike my fucking Big Time Rush.
Yeah, I'm not even quite sure why you listen to them.
they got good beats.
I mean, what was the name of the one song they did with Snoop Dogg? Boyfriend or some shit?
Yeah.
I mean, that song, I guess, was alright.
Hey, man, chill. Why the fuck did you follow me to the bathroom for?
The fuck? He's in your bathroom?
Oh, man. Seriously, guys, today, in my room, all of a sudden I hear a flush. And it's coming from Chill's.
I was dropping a piss. That's all I was doing.
He was dropping a piss.
How do you drop a piss?
That's my way of saying I got pissed.
Man, you either take a piss or you drop a deuce. You know
what I'm saying? I'm dropping some piss. It still drops.
He dropped the piss. I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah, well.
Oh, now we have. Well, shit, I mean, on a good note, at least we'll probably end up hearing some tracks with Omega and DCS, man.
I don't even know who Omega is.
We played a track by him a couple days ago.
That doesn't mean I know who he is.
But shit, but the fact that, you know, that we're working on both motherfuckers, and honestly, I mean, and, you know, like, I remember back in the fucking day up on JR, that was all we were about. I mean, you know, I mean, shit, like, we had, like, Ghetto G come up on here, you know, and Ghetto G would do a track with Obsolete.
Oh, yeah. Back on MySpace, man, I did a collab with pretty much everybody I talked with.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
But now I don't fucking collab with anybody because I fucking hate everyone.
Oh, definitely. I should. He gets everyone. And you know, it's funny, you probably still fuck with it, too.
Like, the people I try to put on tracks or whatever, they either ignore me or they take forever to do it.
Damn.
Yeah, Lando Cloud.
Like, for fuck's sake, man, I just put out some new tracks or whatever. Man, I've been doing them tracks for years.
Yeah. Damn, that's what's up.
Like, it was all recorded different years, man. I swear to God.
Damn,
like,
they're fucking retarded for not taking up that opportunity.
What happened?
Well, that's their fault, too, then.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The track. You try to lay down some tracks.
You know what you're talking about.
Oh, no. These tracks are just me.
Oh, okay.
And, like, Busta B. But as for, like, the other people that were supposed to be on the tracks, they just got kicked off, and I just did it myself.
Oh, okay. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's funny because they got Tackle Box was supposed to come through and ask some questions.
Forgot about that, dude.
Well,
thank God,
again, you know, when I hit up.
Thank God he stopped by for the last interview. Otherwise, that interview would have died.
I know. Well, I mean, then again, you know, when I hit him up, you know, he's in the busy of tattooing somebody, so.
All right, at least he's doing something important.
You know, at least fucking chilling Omega would definitely get along.
Why is that?
Because they have two simple words in common, for show.
Show. Don't forget Hella.
Hella for sure.
I don't think he ever wanted Hella, but he did use for show most of the time.
Yeah.
Now the only other person I really know that says Hella is Rabbit.
Rabbit.
Only two people I know to say Hella, like, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then again, she's another one that needs to learn how to spell. But that's a whole different story.
Yeah, right. Now she's pretty much in the middle of being pissed off at the world because someone stole her fucking costume.
Well, shit, man, you'd be pissed as fuck, too. You do all that work for something, and then somebody just steals it and then it's gone.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, they know who's been doing it because I guess apparently the same person does it, like, all the time. You know,
But it says that she thinks she threw it away or some shit or got rid of it. So what are they supposed to do about that? Just beat the fuck out of the bitch? That's not going to bring this shit back.
I don't know. But, I mean, come on, like, you think fucking Rabbit would learn by now. If it's happened once before in the fucking past, lock your shit up or take it with you.
Well, there's that, too. Like, you know how those badass kids in, like, gym class and shit were, man. You gotta put a lock on your locker, they don't steal your fucking clothes and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What happened? That shit don't even fit. You know how motherfuckers be wearing skinny jeans? What the fuck's up with that?
What the fuck are you? Why are you going to the skinny jeans? I'm not talking about that shit.
I'm fucking fool trying to steal.
Oh, that's right, because you were in school when dudes started wearing skinny jeans.
Oh, that's
why.
So annoying. Like, give those fucking pants back to your sister. She because I was like, they get all fucking pissed. No one told you to wear your sister's fucking jeans, dumbass.
Exactly.
How's the fucking trend? Fuck that shit.
Then I bet you anything fucking show was one wants you know to wear his sister's jeans to school.
Hell no, my sister's only 13. Hold up. There was no chance in hell they would fit.
Does she wear those skinny jeans?
That's her. I don't fucking fuck with that shit.
Does she, though? Yeah. Does she wear them?
Yeah, that's her.
Well, then, there you go, man. You can just steal them and squeeze into them, I guess. Man, I try to put a pair of skinny jeans on or something, man. That shit would rip the fucking half.
Hell yeah.
How the fuck you
know? Wouldn't even go over one leg.
Yeah, no, but you know, I gotta say, just hope that you know that Bobby wasn't able to make the interview tonight. But hey, it's dope though. That, you know, I mean that we had Yaz with us.
Not even quite sure who either of them are, but at least we got one of them.
Yaz is the dude. Well, I'm not sure if you even have him added to your page.
I do not.
Oh. There you go.
Maybe in the next month. He could be.
There you go.
Fucking Facebook.
Straight up.
I think it's funny how people keep fucking posting the same damn thing over and over. That would be words from Violent J himself. This shit is so true. We need to love this family more. Juggalos and this motherfucker puts a Z after it. What the fuck?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh man, come on, man. Like, you remember that fucking letter that, you know, that every single day, every juggalo posted around about, you know, fans, you know, from Brian and Jay.
Man, the only thing, something deep shit like that, that I like was that, that Violent J poem thing that he wrote.
Yeah, I remember that.
Forget how it goes, but that shit was good. I like that.
Oh, yeah, by the way, children, just for you, Ben, I sent the Yaz for show.
Oh, that's what's up.
But did you put the four, or did you put foe?
Four. I got the four.
I put four.
You know, like the number.
That's the shit I've been doing.
Chill holds very short conversations.
Yeah.
I kind of figured that out.
He hits me up, he tells me he don't give a fuck, and then that's it.
Oh, yeah, I just tried to listen to that.
He's like, I don't give a fuck.
Boston tripping lately. I don't give a fuck. I follow that lady. I follow my boss to his house and put a gun in his mouth.
You don't have a boss. Remember, you can't get a job.
Oh, <yeah. laughs> Shit. Fuck it.
So in other words, he said, I don't give a fuck, and then at more likely Gil G goes, what don't you give a fuck about? And he just fucking starts talking about something different.
Well, actually, I just said, I don't give a fuck, don't give a fuck. You know, mainly just because I knew what the hell he was talking about.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been like, what the fuck is wrong with this motherfucker?
Yeah, I did that to my fucking homies. My homies like, what the fuck is wrong? I was like, I don't know. I just got done listening. I just got done listening to that song. By Lil White and Jelly Roll and Twist. He's like, oh, that shit goes hard. I thought, I don't. I don't give a fuck. He's like, hell.
No, he didn't. He didn't say hello back to you.
Oh, I did.
Who are you trying to kid, man? Other people don't use that.
If you're from Colorado, you do, or somewhere else. Who fucking?
Well, I'm not from Colorado.
Hell no. I'm from there.
So around her, we don't say that type of shit.
I picked that up in the fucking 10th grade. Fucking been using that phrase. And
yeah, chill. Here on Earth, we use actual words.
Here on Earth. Where the hell's chill from?
Shit.
Colorado.
I'm a widow.
It's like a whole different planet, I guess.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, fucking chill seems like he's from a whole other planet sometimes.
I guess.
Why is this cat playing with this person's feet?
Why are you watching a cat play with someone's feet?
Because it's a commercial for Friskies. Come on, you should know what that is, Havoc. You got cats, right?
Yeah, but I don't think I've ever seen that commercial before.
I think it's new, but I'm just saying. You should know what that product is. And does your cat play with your feet?
No.
Does your cat attack you at night?
No.
The hell does your cat do?
Sleeps. It eats.
No, that's exciting.
Oh yeah, by the way, Ghetto Yes says thank you, man.
For what?
Well, he told me, great, anytime you want it would be my honor. He goes, your co-host was really cool too. Thank you for me. Really great team. You're my boy for life. Well, even though he can't spell my name correctly, he puts a C. But
well, you're welcome. Yes.
He goes, much love. And then he goes, do you have this recorded? Like, will we be able to post this interview?
Give him a whoop whoop for me.
Me too.
A whoop whoop for show. Hello.
For show. Hello. Legit.
Did you just say legit?
Yeah.
5 minutes. No, I'm kidding.
Fucking shit.
Yeah.
If this was the actual show, man, you get 5 minutes.
All right.
Yeah, you would.
Shit. I'm a little bit sick. Flip.
Although it is pretty funny that all the 5 minute words we got on the show, I pretty much said in the last verse that I did for Underground Killers.
Oh, yeah.
That's besides the point.
Damn.
Like, swagger, legit. But you'll never catch me saying those words any other time. I guess that's like a Colorado thing too, along with New Jersey.
What is?
Saying legit.
Saying that fucking word.
Oh shit! I think that shit's everywhere. Or I think that's just me. Oh no.
No. We had a really annoying bitch that came up on here.
Oh yeah, I'm like, nigga, I'm gonna cut your fucking hair. Don't you hit me up with that bro shit, nigga. I don't even know you.
Whose hair are you cutting?
No, fuck your shit, nigga. I'll pump you right in the face, nigga.
Hey, excuse me, Mr. Edward Scissorhands. Whose hair are you cutting?
Dude, I'll be hella fucking stabbing people.
Man, I'm never going to chill for a haircut.
Yeah, I'll probably fuck shit up.
I might not come back.
He might not have an ear or something, eyeball. Get out his head on it.
Yeah, come back with a fucking eye patch or something.
So what the fuck? What happened to your ear?
I thought you were getting that haircut. Well, I lost an eye in the process, too.
Go over here, fucking shit up.
Because the other day, wasn't Chill talking about some wigs or something, put a wig on you and kick you out the window?
No, choke someone with a wig and kick him out the window. Straight like
there you go, choke him with a wig, kick him out the window.
Shit's awesome. I just want to fucking duct tape someone up to a chair, take hammers and nail the fucking shit out of them.
Man, he's talking about, like, Hammer Time.
Yep.
Yeah, I know, right?
Just beat the shit out of him with a hammer while he's screaming.
Stop. Hammer Time.
Man, I could see him right there in the room. Just have this person duct tape up, man. He got that song playing.
Wait. I mean, you know, if children be doing this, we have to do it properly. Stop. Hammer Time. For show.
I'll take a ball pin hammer.
Did you say a ball pen?
Yeah, ball point hammer. I don't know why I said
that. I don't know why you said ball point either.
Just say hammer, man.
Obviously, something's wrong with this fool's head.
There's a lot of things wrong with that fool's head.
Yep.
Hella things.
Hella. Hey, you know what they should make next?
We should make what?
They should make fucking pretzel corn dogs since they've got the fucking pretzel dogs out.
Pretzel corn dogs?
Yeah, that should be fucking weird.
Wouldn't that be a pretzel dog?
No. It's a hot dog fucking battering pretzel on a stick.
What? That would still be a pretzel dog because there's no corn dog.
On a stick.
It'd be a pretzel dog on a stick, yes. That's what it would be.
That's what's going to happen. That should be.
If you replace the corn dog part, whatever the hell you fucking call it, and then you put the pretzel thing around it, that'd be the same fucking thing as a pretzel dog, man.
Crazy.
What are you going against? corn dogs, man.
Oh, no, they're fucking bomb with chili cheese.
Chili cheese, man. You'd be taking a big shit after that. give me some, like, ketchup or something.
Oh, yeah, ghetto. Yes, that. Let me tell you. Family.
Oh, yeah.
Whoop.
Hell yeah.
Well, so that was the ghetto. Don't you didn't really talk much.
Hey, hold on. At least Cho got a shout out, though, you know what I'm saying? He was recognized.
Hell yeah.
True. As a dog.
He's all.
Well, it just so happened that he came on and then he turned into my dog. She just started barking for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Trying to talk politics.
In the process, turn into Chill.
Yeah, my white dog turned into a black kid.
My black cat turned into a white person. That should be weird.
That'd be interesting. Whenever that was brought up or whatever, man, I was thinking, like, Animorphs.
Yo, I was, too.
Like, that's what Chill does. Like, you see some suspicious animal lurking around, man. You know it's chill.
All that black cat.
He's that like black cat giving you bad luck.
Shit, then again, it's next month, and it's on the 13th.
What's on the 13th?
My birthday.
So your birthday is Friday the 13th of September.
Nope, he's gonna be dead.
September or just Friday the 13th of any
September
month.
September the 13th. Which is it? That's just fucking crazy. And that's a fucking Friday.
So next month is Chill's birthday.
Yeah. Fucking, I'm expecting a whole bunch of bad luck. Shit gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Remind us not to celebrate it.
Straight up, I'm not even trying to.
Yeah, not even if Facebook tells me it's your birthday.
It's quite just ignore it.
Well, most people I do ignore.
Yeah, I do.
Like, that's the only time I can get anybody to talk to me is on my birthday.
Oh,
yeah, I know, right?
I'd come up with short time.
It's like, happy birthday.
Like, where the fuck were you when it was at my birthday?
The rest of the year, it's like, fuck this nigga, man. I ain't talking to him. Seriously, man, that's what my Facebook is. You don't understand. It's like pulling teeth.
I bet.
The only people to hit me up are you and Havoc.
Damn.
Well, at least I talk more than Chill when I hit you up.
That's because you have things to say. He doesn't. Chill's usually at the library, you know, doing nothing. There's not very much to do at the library.
Nope, hell no.
Can't even remember the last time I went to the library.
I don't either.
I think it might have been back in, like, high school, because I had to do a project.
Oh, fuck. High school days. Fuck high school.
Then you just graduate?
Yep.
Yeah. See, it's still fresh to you.
Fucking hate it, but it was pretty cool. We had our time.
I've met some very interesting people back in high school.
Hell yeah, that's true. Damn. Some fucking gangbangers. Oh, no.
Gangbangers? I didn't talk to no gangbangers.
Oh, so Waterbeat Southsiders tried to fucking West Side Bloods or something. Fucking crazy, they call him H2K.
Although there was this one class, I was talking to this black dude talking about he got a rocket launcher somewhere. Like, what the fuck?
Niggas are crazy, aren't they?
You got a rocket launcher in your backyard? Like,
what the fuck? Shit, I got a heat seeker. Nuclear
or like,
warhead.
One time early in the morning, I fucking picked up a lock, tried to throw it at the wall and scare people, and I shattered the window.
So you missed the wall and hit the window.
Yeah, dude, it fucking shattered. It was loud as fuck.
It was freaking...
So then I just walked away. I was like, man, they gonna know it, man. I just fucking dipped out. Because some dude came around the corner like, that was you, Watson. I was like, no.
Just hilarious.
Yeah, it was a funny moment.
I bet.
Or like how this dude I knew, he used to drop kick lockers.
Drop kick lockers. That shit's
funny. Or you drop kick like garbage cans and shit, yeah. You know, stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
Or like how we used to, you know, ride little Fisher Price chairs down a big ass slide.
Mm-hmm.
All those times that we were supposed to be in school, but we weren't.
Yeah, I had those days. Just smoking weed and bumping hatchet music. Music.
Hatchet music.
Yep. shit, there's one, fucking, was it 2 years ago? Fucking, it's crazy. He's all smoking a blunt. Fucking, on the other corner, some fool shot someone. Shit's hilarious. God, I'm watching
that. That shit's hilarious.
Fucking, we just got done rolling the blunt. Fucking security comes out like, you didn't get off the fucking premise. We okay, so we went down the street just to smoke it. Hilarious. She didn't give a fuck what we were doing.
Somebody got shot. He's like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, we just hold a blunt. We didn't give a fuck. We just walked down the street just to go smoke it. We didn't give a fuck what it was.
Jeez. It's nice to see you care about things.
Turn out
like, fuck it, man. Let's get high, man. Who cares if this fool gets shot?
Turn out to be no one we care to fuck about. We just glad we smoked that blunt. That's all that matters.
That's all he was worried about.
Just some stupid-ass fucking Hispanic gangbangers. Fake-ass motherfuckers. Dragon Ball Z motherfuckers, man. It's fucking crazy.
What?
Yeah, they go and buy Goku and all kinds of shit, and they go and buy it. They got a fucking gang called Westside HBK. It's like, nigga, how you gonna fucking ruin Dragon Ball Z? It's like, nigga, you're not even Japanese. You're fucking Hispanic. Copping off fucking...
What the fuck?
Copping off a fucking cartoon. Nigga, you know he's like, yeah, Vegeta's over.
Wait, these people are literally trying to be like these characters?
Yeah, they're trying to put on a West Side, and they're Hispanic. It's like, nigga, you're not even Japanese. Fucking Hispanic. Fuck around.
So are you telling me, like, Goku got shot on your corner?
Oh, no.
I like, what's that one dude's name? It's that green dude's name? Piccolo or some shit?
Yeah. My Piccolo got shot.
Yeah, man, he just shot Goku on the corner, and it was hella funny.
You ever see Goku get shot? Oh, shit.
And then he came back again because those people don't die.
Dragon Balls, well, not in this life, but ain't no Dragon Balls, bitch.
He fucked up the code, and he became the fat version of him.
They try to fuse and shit. It works.
And all Chill was doing was sitting there laughing.
Sitting there laughing, smoking blunt while they try to fucking do shit. That's on fucking TV.
He's like, fuck this. What else is on?
What's next? Y'all gonna copy off some Nick shit? Nickelodeon shit? Try to turn shit into a gang?
Like what, man? They're gonna be imitating like Big Time Rush.
Or fucking...
Or iCarly.
I don't know if they can really imitate that.
Shit. You try to imitate fucking Dragon Ball Z, they probably imitate fucking who knows what. Fucking Naruto. Fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! So what the fuck? Hell.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
That should be weird.
Man, I don't even know shit about that.
Although that, I don't know. I'm just saying, giving out examples.
I mean, shit, but well, I mean, shit. But what are you gonna do? Fucking start throwing cards at people?
It's like, nigga, I'll fuck you up.
Is that really what they do?
Or
no. But I mean,
don't do it. Oh, that hurt. It's like, nigga, all I do is rip.
What are they like gambit? They just throw cards.
Oh, that shit hit me in the eye.
Fucking
kill. Seriously, what the hell they do on Yu-Gi-Oh, man? What do they do? Seriously, tell me.
Oh, no, I'm just giving an example. Like, fucking, I don't know. Shit, probably the next thing you know, probably the X-Men shit. I don't know, I'm just saying. People are just fucking...
Okay. So pretty much... Yeah, what they do on Yu-Gi-Oh, they battle with cards.
They throw a whole fucking deck at you. Like, take that, nigga. That's how we bang on our
blind. Okay, they use cards, and they do what?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Anyone can turn
Dragon Ball Z. Well, quit saying and fucking tell me, goddamn.
Hey, I'm giving that little example. I don't know if they really do this shit.
Well, your example is terrible.
I know. I don't know what they do if they do it. I'm just saying.
You're just saying, man. You're not saying anything because I'm not learning anything.
It's confusing.
They use cards, and then what? The cards come to life?
Right, that's what they
do. Yeah, pretty much.
It don't happen.
So, like, I got, like, a chill card that I play that, and then he comes up.
Start whooping the shit out of the guy who's
and he's just like, for show, I'm here.
went to weed, went to alcohol, some music, so, some let. Let's go to a fucking
show. So what the hell was that, man? Like Pokemon.
Oh, hell no.
Except they jump out of a card instead of a Pokeball.
Yeah, pretty much.
I fucking hate that show. It's like, that was the biggest shit back then.
Which one?
Yeah, I'm not even like that shit. Fucking Pokemon.
Man, I actually liked Pokemon at one point.
You got Digimon and shit? Oh, what the
That's
fuck?
That's just terrible.
I'm like, what the fuck? Is this just trying to be another fucking Pokemon? You got
That's
Digimon.
Exactly what it was.
So that shit was fucking whack. Did they try to make another one? Oh, hell no. Give that shit up. Ain't nobody like that shit.
What the hell was that other thing?
Fuck, I don't know.
Was it like, Digisaur or some shit? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Digisaur?
Is that like a thing? Or am I thinking of Digimon and they were like little dinosaurs or something?
Some shit like that.
What the hell am I thinking of?
I think you're thinking of that.
Man, you don't even know what the fuck Digimon is either.
Yeah.
How are you going to answer my questions? You don't even know what it is.
It's been years since I heard that.
It's been years, man. How old are you?
19,
man. It's been years. When now did Digimon come out? Like, fucking 2004?
Around there. Yeah,
Wait, I don't know, man. Did that come out after Pokemon?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Digimon came after Pokemon.
Pokemon was big back when I was in, like, elementary school.
I got big back Pikachu. Nigga, fuck your Pikachu. I got Blastoise or some shit. Mewtwo's the shit, huh, nigga? But my Charmander whoop your ass. Nah, nigga. Nah. Such and such.
Man, fuck you, man. I'll beat you with a Togepi, okay?
I'll whoop your ass with a Pokemon. Hopefully that'll kill you.
Beat you with a Metapod.
Oh, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Bleed into a tampon?
The fuck? That's a Metapod. Metapause. Metapause. However the fuck you say that.
Metapod. Oh, no. That shit.
I said Metapod, man. That's a thing that all it does is harden. Man, I like that damn shit, man. That Havoc sent me at one point, that Pokemon in real life. That shit was funny as hell. Like,
yeah,
the dude ran in, he ran into a Jigglypuff, man. Started singing and he just fell asleep. Then he woke back up. He's like, motherfucker.
Like, nigga, I didn't even party. I got a fucking drawn on my feet. What the fuck? Nigga just sang court. That's all. Just one fucking same shit. Just
like,
one.
Why won't this person battle me?
You gonna fucking mark all over your face. What kind of shit's that? Come on. Bitch.
Yeah, well, guess what? Digimon returns as of September 7th.
Oh, fuck no.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
It's gonna be called Digimon Fusion.
Oh, hell no.
So now they're going to try to be Dragon Ball Z. Man, Pokemon didn't work.
So I've seen this on the episode of Dragon Ball Z. Maybe it could work.
They're going to have, like, them little people in there, man. They're going to be the little Digimon now.
Fusing and shit.
They're going to be the Dragon Ball Z people. I don't know their names, so I can't tell you who.
Agumon. Gomamon. Gomamon.
What do you do? Look that shit up?
Will you stop doing that fucking voodoo chance at me, motherfucker, and give me names?
I just did.
What the hell is that big pink thing's name?
Birdmon.
Man, you could probably tell me anything. I'd believe you. I don't know.
Straight up.
The only damn people I know are the damn people having downloads on fucking WWE 13.
No. Fucking speaking of WWE, did you see what happened last night?
As in what?
Fucking Triple H treated Big Show like a bitch. So that they get to sit down in commentary and fucking watch the whole fucking...
So wait, he was crying the entire episode?
That nigga look like he gonna cry. I was like, this nigga's a bitch.
I only saw the one match on there because I read the shit beforehand and none of it sounded interesting.
It was hilarious. You should see on it. Look, this fucking big ass fool getting bossed around by like, nigga fucking like, I don't know. Not even like, or.
Well, here's a question. Did the Wyatt family win?
Yep, of course.
Yeah.
That's what, like the third time that they beat tons of homies? Was it a very short match again?
Oh, yep. Like, fucking, what is his name? Brodus, that they got, he's about to double team fucking, the guy in the green jumpsuit pulled his fucking leg and threw his ass through a fucking, through the barricade. That nigga was out. How the fuck you gonna be out like that? Then fucking, he just did one move and that was it. Smush, T. Show was hilarious, just one smush. He was out.
Did you just, like, suddenly turn into, like, Snooki or something? You just keep saying smush.
Smush. Hold on, fuck that bitch.
You're like, Snooki, smush, smush.
Snooki, fuck this, smush, smush.
Ah, what the fuck? Why is this bitch that at me again? He wants to kill me.
Who wants to kill you?
Jerry just added me.
Wait, did you say Jerry?
Yes.
Jerry wants to kill.
Where the hell did she come from?
Oh. I have no clue.
She really does want to kill you.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Can she kill me?
She might, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
She killed her husband.
Oh, I mean, because she killed her husband.
Damn.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
All right.
Well, I think it's funny how it says, my only mutual friend with her is Gypsy.
Yeah, it's because I deleted her.
Man, I bet you think when you get back online, you'll probably have a friend request from her, too.
Man, I sure hope not, because I really don't want to talk to her.
That's crazy.
Like, for real, man.
You know what? We will send her chills away.
Yeah, may as well. I mean, he does need friends.
Yeah. Just pouring out.
Yeah, and that, plus he wants to be killed by her, so hey.
Man, he just sit there and laugh about it.
Oh, I see.
Like, you want to kill me?
Right? I'm right here. Go ahead. What the fuck? I got
it. Be like, hello.
The show.
Hello.
Do you have any last words, Chill?
Fuck the world.
The show.
Well, that's not what I was expecting. That would surprise us all.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, like we would kind of expect for you to say, your last word would be for show and hella.
Yeah, and then he says, fuck the world. Like, what? What
did
you just
say?
Yep. FTW.
And then fucking pretzel dogs on the stick.
Frogs on a stick.
What are you, frogs on a stick?
I don't, I beat their ass.
Did you just say frogs? Say frogs on a stick, man.
Mm-hmm. Fucking sit there.
I think you did.
Man, you idiots are just laughing. You're like Beavis and Butthead. You don't even know what the hell's going on.
This guy just said fuck on a stick. That shit's hilarious.
Motherfucker's not hilarious. Not everything is hilarious, Jim.
For him it is.
He's a demented little fuck. That's why.
Why so serious?
Why so serious?
Man, this nigga's just laughing. That shit's hilarious.
I'll show you how to make a pencil disappear.
Oh, hell yeah.
We will warn the Canadians to come down here.
Why is that?
Yeah, more than likely, you probably scared the shit out of them with your for show, hella, and random laughing.
Random laughing!
This is not iCarly.
Oh, my bad. That should be your thing, though. Random laughing.
Give me some weed, and it'll definitely be some random laughing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Man, that's not random laughing. That's obnoxious laughing. That's the type of laughing you just want to punch somebody out.
Oh, damn. Make it game serious. Uh-oh.
No, man, you don't understand. You don't understand.
Okay. That's what everyone says. It's like, no.
He just sits here and giggles like a little girl for 2 hours, and it's not fun.
Oh, that's not. I just sit there and shut the fuck up. I don't say shit.
Oh, damn, plus I start talking about random shit. Can't.
Man, you do that all the time. That's no different.
Hold on.
See, I can't type word shit when I'm high.
Well, let's try an experiment. Let's see if you could spell better if you're high.
I could have cheated and I could have passed. but then I was hot. I love that.
He was going to pay his child support.
But then I got high.
La, la, da. La, da, da, da.
Why is that, man? Because I got high.
And turn this shit on.
Love that music video. That shit's hilarious.
Yes.
That nigga all got ice cream truck.
I think that's pretty much the only song I ever really liked about him.
Yeah. Colt 45 was pretty good.
Nah, I guess.
He's talking about fucking tastes so different all over the country and shit. That shit's hilarious.
But it's funny, man, that he got, you know, famous off of a song about getting high.
Right? In fucking high school.
But, you know, then the Combat Kings, man, they were doing that for a long time.
Yep, that's true. They've been down with that shit for like fucking years. Since they started Kansas.
Did you just press an unmute button?
No.
I swear to God, I just heard unmuted.
Nope, I didn't press nothing.
I don't know, man. I tend to like songs about drugs, and I don't do drugs.
Yeah, okay.
Like Acid by Lil White, man. I love that song, but I don't do Acid.
That one's pretty good. Yeah, I love that.
Getting chased around the parking lot by a midget in the parking lot.
Getting run into the parking lot. Fucking baby.